Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Melissa Tittle is star and host of the popular TV series UFO Witness. She's former head of content and development at the Gaia Network and an established journalist, producer, and documentarian. Her new film, which just took home some hardware from the Midwest Weird West Film Festival, is Code 12, The Code Out of the Matrix. Melissa Tittle, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. This journey to, discover the secret nature of reality, unravel this ancient code that's found in tombs and ancient sacred sites around the world, all began with a dream, a recurring dream you've had since childhood. Tell us about it.
This whole documentary became pretty personal for me. I think all of us that are probably listening to this or are doing similar research have had some kind of personal interaction with whatever material that they're going down a rabbit hole with. And, you know, I'm no different. And I had this dream that just kept reoccurring where I was in a desert. And the desert was very specific, and I'll tell you in a little bit why that's important. And I was in this desert with what looked to be a staff, and I would go to a specific spot, and I would hit the ground with the staff, and all these lines, consecutive circles, would reverberate out, and then these 12 spokes of a wheel would come out, and then it would get really bright, and then it would disappear. The dream was over, and it just kept happening over and over and over again. And I think it wasn't until I started working on Ancient Aliens, a million years ago when it first started, that whole series, mm-hmm. That I started kind of putting together some of the symbolism with some of the people that we were interviewing, or I was reading some of their books that we were considering some thought processes for the show. And I thought, is there a pattern to this? So this has been going on a lot. And throughout the years, I've kind of put some pieces together. And I thought, there's something else going on here. There's a lot of people obsessed with codes on this planet and with the idea of fractals and the Da Vinci Code. And I basically, all of that is true. But what I'm saying is there's another code that's overlaid behind all of that, all of the stuff that people have already put together, there's something else going on. And I think that this that we're going to talk about is a code that allows us to get out of this other code that's been kind of overlaid our society and our understanding of the universe.
One of the first people that you went to try and unravel this secret was Maria Wheatley, who we know as an author and an expert on Stonehenge, and she's a dowser, and she researches Earth's energies. What did she make of this dream and these concentric circles?
I mean, Maria is known for a lot of work at Stonehenge and Avery. But she understands things from looking at the patterns that the Earth creates. And she really led me to some really old books, books that I couldn't even, when I tried to get some of the images cleared, people aren't alive. They're so old. I've never even heard of these people. But they really talk about these kind of reverberations that these temples leave. And how they're all across the planet and how they possibly could have communicated with each other. Of course, she's a dowser, so we're talking about ley lines and dragon lines and all that kind of stuff. Not just the concentric circles of Stonehenge or Avebury, but that these temples around the world created this, they create some kind of rippling effect. And I thought that was really interesting because I think, as humans, we really want to be verbatim with our limited understanding of what things mean. And she led me on this path to think, okay, I'm having this concentric circle, 12-spoke dream, whatever that is. And she's talking about concentric circles from the idea of frequency and temples and structures being built on certain spots to create that frequency. And we were talking about Atlantis and how, even the concentric circles of Atlantis have that kind of concept. It's almost built as if it's capturing that frequency. And I thought, all stories and mythologies are kind of built on people's understanding of what's going on. And it could be that our understanding of how Atlantis was built was actually a metaphor for how it worked. Like the symbolism of the concentric circles is how Atlantis operated instead of, okay, it was built in concentric circles.
Right, right. In Plato's dialogues, we learn that Atlantis is a city on an island surrounded by several bodies of water. So that's where we get the concentric circles, which looks an awful lot like the concentric circles in your dream. Where does Maria Wheatley believe these circles are generated from? Are they from deep within the earth that come and they come percolating up?
Yeah, I'm just going to call them we use the word hotspots. I don't think that's the right terminology, but we'll call it hotspots. And ancient people knew this. And so they built a temple in a certain construction to capture that energy and be able to harness the direction of that and create these waves, if you will, of frequency. The thought process is, and of course, this is not just my idea. There's other people that have had this thought too, that like all these massive structures have a similar building code to them. And could they have communicated with each other in some kind of ancient technology that's not working today quite possibly, but, and that kind of goes into her theory of like the idea that these are built on certain places. They have a certain construction and design to them. And then that kind of harnesses the energy of those frequencies, concentric circles. What's really interesting is that in the dialogues of Timaeus and Critias that Plato talks about, he gives an actual measurement for Atlantis of how big it was. And this is what I always find really interesting, and I talk about this a little bit in the documentary, is that we have all these measurements for buildings. Like, why do I need to know at this stage, some 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years later, why do I need to know how big Solomon's Temple is? Why do I need to know the measurements of Atlantis? I don't know much about Atlantis. I know that it's concentric circles. There's a placement that he gives between two land masses, which is why everyone has come up with where they think Atlantis is. And of course, then there's this idea of this measurement. And I'm always thinking, like, okay, after all these years, why do we need to know the measurements of the building? I'm not like, Melissa lives at this address and her building is this tall and this wide.
Right. Too much information.
It's like, okay, we went on this whole path about what's happening with these people at Solomon's Temple, and then we get into the measurements. Unless that is part of the coding, and they're hoping people will figure that out, that the reason that these numbers are given is that they become the numbers of how it operates. And there is a specific number of how Atlantis operates. And Marie was able to figure that out, which I thought was so fascinating. And the numbers that are given, if you use it in a division of 10, so if let's say the number that is given for the measurement of Atlantis, if you divide that by 10, you get, or you multiply it by 10, you get the actual circumference of the Earth. So why is that encoded in Atlantis? Unless it's a metaphor for something else. And you see that all over with these temples. They talk about there's this, you know, flowery romantic story that's happening at the temple, and then all of a sudden we're talking about measurements. And that's kind of what this whole conversation with Maria. I'm like, okay, maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe we're looking at one direction of one measurement and one understanding, quite possibly the idea of how everything's encoded with this Fibonacci code, Da Vinci code type stuff. And we're not looking at some of the other weird anomalies at these buildings, these temples, at these mythologies, at these stories, that I think there's two codes happening at the same time. One that's locked us into our current timeline right now, and another one that offers us a way out.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top
of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's drill down a little bit because this is fascinating. When you talked about the measurements of Atlantis's diameter, and again, this is coming from Plato's Dialogues, and it's quite specific. He mentions 127 stadia. I have no idea what a stadia is, but it works out to what, roughly 79,200 feet. So, yeah. And then you say we divide that by 10 because as we learn from you in the documentary, that just about our entire reality is comprised of, you know, it's based on base 10. So we divide 79,200 by 10 and we get this 79.20, which keeps popping up time and time again, 79.2, 79.2, even in Stonehenge, apparently, right?
Yep. Yeah. Even in Stonehenge, you see these exact same measurements. Now, these are only two locations that we kind of dive into with Maria. But what she's saying is that why this measurement, why this understanding, what are they trying to tell us, and why would you put that there? I agree. Why? Like, why? Unless that measurement was important to encode in that temple, so that it was in frequency and residency with the whole entire planet, right? That's what kind of rang in my mind. Like, okay, well, how many of these other temples and locations have this kind of same measurement or understanding?
Right. So next stop is Billy Carson, who, of course, is very familiar to Coast to Coast listeners. And Billy Carson is written extensively about the Emerald Tablets, which are, according to legend, were written by the Egyptian god Thoth. What do the Emerald Tablets have to do with all this?
So the Emerald Tablets, you know, we just take this concept a little bit further. Okay, so somebody or lots of people knew that if they built all these temples on these hotspots, these points, and they were able to magnify the frequencies, somebody had to have an overall arching plan for how those frequencies are going to be used. Of course, we are insinuating that, you know, maybe all these temples and locations communicated with each other. And if that's so, then there's a big architect that's created this system of this communication and this understanding. And what Billy Carson has, he's really into, and he's written a book about it, is the Emerald Tablets. And there, and this isn't the first place that talks about Thoth being the architect, but this is his kind of book. This is him saying, look, I created this system, and this is how I did it. And so we get into those specifics. And you know what's really interesting about the Emerald Tablets? For some reason, it's not the most popular books. Like when I talk to people, like people will quote things from other books and everything, but it's weird. It's like people bring up the Emerald Tablets and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, the Emerald Tablets. And I don't know why that is. There's just like a weird thing in our brain that I think there's people that are really in. It's a hard read, but they're into it. And there's just people that just overlook it. That like it's some kind of document that exists, but. Our book, but it's just not, doesn't resonate in our human minds, which I think is also a really interesting thing. Side note. So in the Emerald Tablets, he talks about how he's kind of the architect for all of this. So he basically puts a stamp on it. He's like, look, I understand how this all works. And I created it. I created this worldwide type of network. And he talks about that, after the fall of Atlantis, in specific detail that there was the reason for the fall of Atlantis, and a lot of people know this part a little bit, is that he calls it the masters of the white and the masters of the dark, depending on your interpretation and the book you have that's translated for the Emerald Tablets. But he says that at one point, this group of people or whatever got together and decided they wanted more power in the idea of Atlantis, right? So here we have Toth saying, yes, Atlantis existed, and that there was this great power, and there was this golden age for everybody. But there was a group of people that wanted a little bit more power. And what they did was they invited what he called this darkness into human souls. It could only exist. It was in another dimension. It could only exist if they brought it in, and it kind of encompasses itself into the blood of man, basically. And this was starting to infect the inhabitants of Atlantis. So the Masters of the White, this is according to the interpretation I have, came in and said, okay, enough. We have to stop this before it takes over most of humanity. We need to create a system that blocks them out. And so the fall of Atlantis was the cutting off of humans being able to be part of the universe like they used to, which was part of the Golden Age, and putting them in a bubble, so that they wouldn't be taken over by this darkness that now had kind of invaded, he says, the hearts of man.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.